He came with a mission. The prophets of the Old Testament and the apostles of the New Testament declared that the Messiah came into this world for a reason. Work was assigned to him even before the world was formed. And we don't need to be in the dark about his goals. Jesus Christ came to earth, first of all, to do the will of God as our substitute. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, it says, "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God.'" And verse 10 of that same chapter tells us that by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So Jesus came to earth to do the will of God as our substitute. But he also came to earth to save his people from their sins. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, when the angel explained to Joseph what had happened in Mary's pregnancy, a statement of purpose was given. It says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So he came to save his people from their sins. And then third, he came to gather all that God had appointed to believe. In John chapter 10 and verse 16, it says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, for there will be one flock and one shepherd." So Jesus came for a purpose. That amazing statement reminds us that God's salvation is 100% accomplished by him. He knows his sheep in this world, and none of them will be lost. None of his sheep will be lost. Christ came to do these things, and he not only came to do them, he has done them. The work is finished. John chapter 17 and verse 4, in his prayer on that night that he was betrayed, Jesus said to the Father, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." And the next day from the cross, he declared, "It is finished." Isaiah chapter 61, if you have your Bible, you may want to turn there. Isaiah chapter 61 describes the good news of the Messiah. A mission that used words that we can feel. Verses 1 through 3, it's prophesied the words that will be spoken by God's Messiah. In those verses, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." And you know what? 700 years later, after Isaiah prophesied those words, Jesus spoke those very words. You can take a look in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And so all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" But Luke tells us that before this encounter was over, the synagogue crowd turned into a lynch mob and they tried to kill him. Because Jesus was reading a passage that everyone in that place knew referred to the prophesied Messiah. And then he basically said to them, "That Messiah that Isaiah spoke of, you're looking at him." The text that Jesus used that day in Nazareth, Isaiah chapter 61, prophesied his mission. Verse 1 gives the foundation of the ministry. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor." You know, by the way, that statement, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me," it's a great witness to the Holy Trinity. I mean, he says the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he's called me to preach the good news, anointed me to preach the good news. This is his purpose. Jesus has good news for those who are poor, literally humble, lowly, or in need, or afflicted in some way. He's got good news for them. I mean, God looks for those who have been passed over. The ones that we just can easily just overlook and not pay any attention to. God looks for those who have been passed over, the outcasts, who realize that they need someone. He comes for those who know that they're sick, not for those who think that they're okay and think that they're well. He has good news for those who realize just how desperately they need a Savior. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 3, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You know, those who realize that they have a need, God has plenty of grace for them to receive. Notice how Isaiah says that the anointed one of God would do all this. It says, first of all, that he'll repair the damaged. The first part of the next part of that first verse, it says, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Isaiah spoke to some people who were about to see their nation collapse. The temple would be demolished. Everything they knew would be gone. Would God help them? I mean, does he care what I'm going through? Does he care? Can you feel yourself in that place? Does he care what I'm going through? Well, the message of Isaiah is, you know what? He'll be there to repair the wounds of your heart and my heart. Just as he proclaimed that he would. He does care. He knows what you're going through, and he'll be there for you as well. On a spiritual level, Isaiah's message speaks to those who are broken over their sin. You know, can God forgive me? Will he accept me, even if he knows what I've been doing, what I've been saying, what I've been thinking? Well, the answer is yes, he will. Yes, he will. Jesus said he will He'll repair the damaged. He'll heal up the brokenhearted. But also, He'll release the captive. He'll release the captured. It says, He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. You see, for the people of Judah, listen, the impending deportation because of an enemy of invasion meant that they were going to be living as slaves in a foreign country under a pagan power. That's what was coming for them. That's what they were looking forward to. I mean, in that situation, you have no will, you have no say, you have no vote. You're under absolute control of another one, of another person. And spiritually, this speaks of being captive to sin. God's Word says that without Jesus, we're all slaves to Satan as a result of our sin. But what Jesus is saying is not anymore. Not anymore. Because he's going to release the captured. And He'll also restore the wasted. In verse 2, the first part of it says, He sent me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And the year that it's talking about, the year of the Lord's favor, is a reference to the year of Jubilee. And the provision of the law was that every 50th year, all the slaves were to be set free. All debts were canceled. And all land that was sold or taken for debt was returned. It would be like having all your credit cards paid off. Just like that. Your mortgage canceled. And all your debt settled. Wow. That'd be okay, wouldn't it? Could take that. You see, the year of Jubilee was an Old Testament picture of salvation through Jesus Christ. See, when a Christian is saved, he is set free from his sins. His sin debt is canceled. Set free from the devil to whom he'd been enslaved, and from his own sinful nature. He's set free. All of that nature hangs around and tries to cause problems, but it doesn't have to have power over us anymore. And then the Lord begins to restore the years that were squandered through sin. Or in the Old Testament picture, the years that the locust ate are restored. Antoine Fisher is the true story of a young man abandoned at birth by an incarcerated woman who was raised by others in abusive orphanages and foster homes and reform schools. After his 18th birthday, he joined the Navy where all of his pent-up anger at life just kind of came up to the surface. After several fights, he's ordered to undergo counseling. And psychologist Jerome Davenport, who's played in the movie by Denzel Washington, encourages Antoine to find his roots in order to begin healing. After several phone calls, he reaches one aunt and uncle in Cleveland who escort him to a dilapidated apartment complex where his estranged mother lives. A suspicious woman answered the door upon realizing that Antoine is the child that she gave up at birth. She retreats to another room and sits down on a dirty, worn out couch, just crying silently. Antoine asked for some explanation as to why she never came to rescue him or why she never sought him out. She couldn't answer. She simply stared ahead, not daring to look at him, tears rolling down her cheeks. He gently kissed her on the cheek as if to say, "I forgive you," and walked out of the apartment with his questions unanswered and rode back to his aunt's house with his uncle. As he exited the car, his slow gait betrayed the loneliness of a man who had no hope of a meaningful connection to anyone. Years have been robbed from him. Is there anything that can help make sense of who he is? As Antoine entered the front door, his world changed. He was met with a chorus of cheers from 50 plus relatives, all waiting to meet Antoine for the first time. There were children, cousins, uncles, and family, friends all smothering him with hugs, slaps on the back, and beaming smiles. One cousin told him his name is Edward and said, "I'm named after your dad." And an older aunt squeezed his cheeks. Antoine took it all in, overwhelmed. The hallway stairs were filled with kids holding up signs with his name scribbled next to crayon sketched smiley faces and rainbows. He was then led to the next room where a grand feast was spread across a long table. The table was overflowing with chicken, mashed potatoes, pancakes, fruit salad, and every other dish you can imagine. The room was prepared for a party. And for the first time in his life, Antoine was loved. For the first time, he belonged. As the clamor quieted, an elderly woman, the matriarch of the family, was sitting at the head of the table. She knocked on the tabletop to get Antoine's attention and then waved for him to come over next to her. With slow, deliberate moves, she raised her arms, grabbing his hands and then touching his face. A slow tear ran down her cheek, and with a raspy voice that seemed as if it was mustering all the strength it possessed, she whispered the redemptive invitation, "Welcome." Well, you know, what has life been like for you? What has life been like for you? Maybe it's been so hard that you've wondered what the point of it is at all. It could be that recent tragedies or trials that feel so heavy it's hard to imagine any good thing coming your way. Well, you know, whatever your experience, Jesus makes the same offer that he's made to so many others. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's ready to restore what has been taken away. He's ready to set you free from the slavery of sin. He's ready to heal your brokenness. That's why he came. That's the whole meaning of Christmas. We celebrated about that baby in the manger, but it's about that baby who grew up and became a man who went to a cross and died for you and me. And praise God that God loved us so much that he chose not to deal with us according to our sins and his wrath, but instead he showed us mercy and in love sent Jesus Christ that we might by grace receive forgiveness and eternal life.